46 and 47 together.
1046, adopt a set of priority values, expectations, and the recommended option to guide the design and implementation of the City of Portland's Bull Run Filtration Projects. And 1047, authorize a contract with StanTech Consulting Services, Inc., for design services for the Bull Run Filtration Project in the amount of $51 million.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody who's been waiting patiently for 3.5 hours to do this. And thank you to my colleagues who are willing to delay lunch to do this, because it is an important project, and we want to give it its due attention. So today, we have two items to discuss: a resolution that proposes a recommended option for implementation of the design of the filtration plant, and the design contract, which will allow us to pay for design services for the treatment plant. We will not be voting on either of them today. They will be moved to next week, so there's going to be time for more questions and discussion and before then. The main thing I want to do today is to get to public testimony and to hear the presentation. First of all, I do have a substitute resolution that I just handed out. This incorporates feedback from the Portland Utility Board and the Citizens Utility Board. Janice Thompson, the Citizens Utility Board, was not able to be here today, but she asked us to add reliability as well as resilience in the whereas clauses as to why we're doing this, for both resiliency and reliability. And then the Portland Utility Board asked us to include them in working in continued work with the site advisory group, and asked us to direct the Water Bureau to provide timely and regular updates on no less than an annual basis to council, and a minimum of biannual and updates to an engagement with the Portland Utility Board as the project is implemented. So I move the substitute resolution.
Second.
Thank you.
We have a motion and a second for the substitute. Any further discussion on the substitute? Seeing none, call the roll and put the substitute on the table.
Fritz.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Substitute's on the table.
And again, we will be posting this for the community and put it up. Also, in the Tuesday memo, Exhibit A needed to be amended for a substitute. Exhibit A, I want to thank Dee Walker for bringing this to our attention, that there were some gaps in what was in that information. So I move the substitute Exhibit A.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Hardesty. The substitute amendment is on the table. Let's go ahead and call the roll.
Aye.
Hardesty.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The substitute's on the table as amended.
The next thing to do is just acknowledge that we're all in a very difficult place, both the neighbors and the city and the ratepayers, as to the expense of this project, and recognizing the federal mandate that we have to do it, and we have to do it on a certain timeline. So the resolution proposes how to get that done in ways that has some actual benefits for the community and for the ratepayers for generations to come. And with that, I will just move straight to Director Mike Stroh.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, good morning. Thanks for providing the opportunity for us to talk to you today. I'm joined at the table by Gabe Solmer, the Deputy Director, Christina Nieves from Commissioner Fritz's office, and Dave Peters, who is the Program Manager for the Bull Run Treatment Projects. I will go through this as quickly as I can. Today's actions, we have two things to consider: a resolution, ordinance, neither of which will be voted on today. We want to do four things during this presentation: provide a quick recap of where the project has been, provide a project schedule — it's kind of an overview, God-level schedule — frame the project values that will drive the project moving forward, and provide a recommended budget option for the resolution. Recent history: 2017, we began getting more cryptosporidium hits. August 2017, we chose filtration as the answer. December 2017, we negotiated a bilateral compliance agreement with Oregon Health Authority with filtration as the option. Just prior to the December 2017 action with Oregon Health Authority, Gabe, myself, Fiona Akagi, our water treatment, or our water quality section chief, and Karen Moynihan, had to go to Washington, D.C. and talk with EPA about the length of time that we were going to be given to actually do this project. For reasons that are kind of Portland specific, we had no planning studies done prior to that because we had relied upon the variance. We came back, we got 10 years to complete this project. That's 3 to 4 years longer than they normally give because we needed to do all the planning studies that we had not done in order to get this project fielded. Project schedule, the big picture schedule, you can see the top to bottom horizontal black line there. That's where we are today. We're working our way through the planning studies. We have done a lot. The numbers I think that we have here are much closer than what I had given previously. Of all the numbers I've regretted for 16 years of sitting at this table, I regret that $500 million number. It was the best we had at the time. So over the course of this project, we'll be coming back to you, as Commissioner Fritz noted in the modified thing, frequently to let you know how the project schedule develops. We'll be back twice in 2020 to discuss the design contract for the pipeline work and the CMGC in the spring.
Construction management.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Construction management. What's the CMGC stand for?
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep doing that. Construction manager, general contractor, PTE contract. Basically, we hire...
Professional and technical.
It's very difficult to do. Too many years of doing this, I guess. Anyway, what we're going to do in that is we're going to hire the construction contractor to participate in the design. It's a proven money saver, time saver. You can often find cool things that you can cut out of a project because contractors know how to build things, which is not quite the same thing as designers knowing how to design things. In June 2020, we'll have a check-in for the project budget, and we'll do that at least once a year for the life of the project. Priority values. These values are the same values that all of us had agreed on before. Provide safe and reliable drinking water, of course, that meets all the rules. Resilience. The Water Bureau, I think, has been in the forefront in the city and maybe nationwide in providing a resilient water system. Respecting our community and environment. I realize how difficult this is. I'm a farmer and a rancher, too. And I can imagine how challenging this might be for our neighbors out there. And last but not least, value and cost. We want to make sure we get good value for our money and do what we need to do at a reasonable cost. Water quality, this is the most important thing. You'll see here how our water quality values guide the benefits of these projects. These were also the points that council considered when choosing the treatment option. We all got a surprise we didn't want to have with the fire that happened a couple of years ago, and it actually burnt into the watershed. It didn't cross over into the hydrologic boundary, but I hope that's as close as we ever get to a fire. But if we do have a fire, this treatment plant will allow us to respond to that. Treatment provides multiple barriers for potential contaminants, and you can see in this chart, you've seen this before, more buttons is good, and the more buttons we've got, the better. This will be the treatment proposal that we're proposing to design. Basically, all the precursors to filtration make it possible to do the filtration. Pathogens. Fancy word, also includes cryptosporidium, which is the prime driver for this thing. Resilience. Our recommended option is guided by our priority values. You'll see here briefly two pipes in and two pipes out. I think that's key for resilience. If one goes down, you have one break, you've got a chance to operate most of the system on one pipe. Now I'm going to turn it over quickly to Gabe.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I just wanted to talk about the...
Put your name into the record, please.
Thank you. Gabriel Salmer with the Portland Water Bureau, Deputy Director. I wanted to talk about the community and environment value that this council has said was important and this Bureau has said was important. And you see in this chamber a number of the neighbors and the community members who are interested in this project. We have been working with them throughout this project. We are very glad for their participation in this process. We think that they will make this a better project as we go along. We've also spent time individually and one-on-one with many of the property owners. And I just wanted to acknowledge, although they could not be here in person, the contributions of the Portland Utility Board and the Citizens Utility Board, both who have submitted letters. We really appreciate their investment of time in understanding this project. And for PUB, which is a board of volunteers, the amount of time and effort that they put into this and providing an additional venue for public engagement, which is very important. In the interest of time, I won't read through all of the groups that we have met with, but they certainly include groups on the community side, on the environmental side, the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, the Surface Nursery, and Northwest Steelheaders. We've been working with these organizations, both who have an interest in being near to the project, but also with Portlanders and customers who have an interest in this project, including Latino Network, Self-Enhancement Incorporated, Impact Northwest, Home Forward, working with them to see what opportunities they see in this project. That is certainly a part of the community and environment value. And then just a quick recap of
me. Why yes. Those particular groups?
Those are groups that we partner with on our low-income program. So we wanted to make sure that they knew about the rate impacts of this project so that they could help advise us as to how to manage that.
Thank you.
And then we will also be consulting with the tribes about the land use at the that it'll be impacting.
Thank you. And just a word about the filtration plant location, as this is certainly an area where the neighbors of the project have been most interested. Just a recap that we have chosen this location. It's a location that the city purchased in 1975 for a facility. It's at the right elevation and location, and it allows us to continue that elegant design of a gravity-fed system into town. It's large enough also to provide a buffer. That was very important that we can provide that screening and the environmental and cultural resources at the site.
Let me just interrupt and add that the next opportunity for neighbors to oppose this project being in this location is with the conditional use. Although the zoning allows the filtration facility, it does need to go through a conditional use process with Multnomah County, and that's where the point can be made by opponents to not put it here at all rather than how to put it here.
Thank you, Commissioner.
I'm going to value and cost. I mentioned previously the numbers. While designing this thing is a very normal treatment plant in the grand scheme of things, the way the project happened is absolutely not normal. We were operating under a variance, and the variance was pulled. And we didn't have any of the planning studies we would normally have for reasons that are well in the past. At that time, we didn't have the things that we would normally have. What you're seeing here today, this first shot of numbers, is what in a totally normal project, uninfluenced by losing a variance, would be the first set of numbers that council would see. And that set of numbers would be based upon proper planning studies. In this case, traffic, seismic, geotech, environmental reviews, cultural resource reviews, the routine surveying that we do to actually build the project, water quality pilot studies. Most people look at water and think it's all the same, and from a chemical point of view, it's absolutely not, and we have to look in detail at the water quality. All these things are underway, and out of that, we have a total project budget we feel that fits within the normal framework that we use in the city of Portland for stating how confident we are in estimates. For a low confidence estimate, its accuracy range is -30% to +50%. And over the coming couple of years of design, we will refine that number and report regularly to you on that.
So wait, say that again? Say that one more time, slowly.
Okay, one more time, slowly. We are fitting this within the framework of the normal city of Portland budget estimate confidence intervals that were originally dreamed up by Mayor Adams. We have a low confidence estimate, and that estimate can be minus 30%, so 30% off 820, or plus 50%. 50% added
to it. That's
not
acceptable.
But that's the city policy, for a start.
I'm just repeating the policy.
I understand that it might be city policy, but it is not normal for the city to spend almost $900 million, $800 million for a project. And so to be here at this time saying you got a 30% confidence, I am not feeling the love with that.
So this contract is to design the system.
We can't
put a number on it until it's designed.
I understand that.
Okay, let's keep
going.
There
are other questions, yes, not just that one. Thank you. Please continue.
Okay. Now I would like to turn it back to Gabe.
Well, I get to talk a little bit about some better news, which is the Water Infrastructure Financing and Innovation Act. We have spoken a bit about this with your offices, but we had not been invited to apply until just about a month ago. So this is a pretty big deal that we were invited by the EPA to apply for WIFIA. That's the acronym. It's a financing program. It's a loan program that provides financing for 49% of the project. The big benefit of WIFIA, so we're selected to apply, we still have to come to terms. We expect to submit our application in the spring, and then we would decide on those terms probably by late summer, early fall. It allows us to lock in the low rates so that we do have that certainty as to what our costs are going to be. The other things about WIFIA is that it provides very flexible repayment terms, and that allows us to phase in the rate increases over a longer amount of time. I can't tell you what our rate increases will be with WIFIA. There are too many moving parts to that, but I can certainly update you as we go along, and as we get closer to that fall time period, we would know what those terms will be and what that impacts on rates are. And as I said, we are going through that whole process with our community partners so that we understand the impacts that those rates have.
So now we turn it over to Christina.
Thank you. Good afternoon, council members. My name is Christina Nieves, for the record. I'm with the Office of Commissioner Amanda Fritz. I'm here before you today to walk through the resolution that is before you. This resolution is essentially a follow-up to the work session that was held in September. At that work session, staff from the Water Bureau presented several options for the design of the plant, as well as updated council members on cost and community engagement activities that had been occurring related to the design. So this resolution has a recommended option that is not the full implementation option that was presented at the work session. So we had minimum phase and the full implementation option. This recommended option is within that spectrum. It has some of the components of the full implementation option, which I'll walk through in a minute. This resolution is essentially an opportunity for all of council to weigh in. We recognize that there are many concerns in the community and on council regarding the new cost updates, the location, other things like that, and we also recognize that our office will be departing, and this is a project that other council, future council, will have to grapple with decisions in the future. So even though this is early in the process, these options regarding design will impact decisions in the future. So as Director Stur said, in coming up with the recommended option, we considered several values, and we can't have 100% of these values. We would like to, but we have to, of course, weigh them. And so these values are water quality, resiliency, redundancy, cost benefit, and of course the impact on the local community near the future site of the filtration plant. So given all of the input that we've received, and of course given the risk of failure and the likelihood that we will need a system that is more resilient against potential natural disasters, and the requirement by the LT2 rule, we are proposing that council primarily consider water quality and resiliency, though all the other values will of course be a part of the design. We know that there are natural disasters occurring across our nation and across our globe. This is causing, amongst many reasons, folks to move to different places that have basic needs such as water. And so the recommended option also includes understanding that we need to plan long-term for the increased folks that will come here. So what we're essentially saying is, while we're required to treat our water, we have an opportunity to plan for that and to go above and beyond. This means a design closer to full implementation, but will potentially cost less. So using a target capacity of 145 million gallons per day to meet the most projected demands through 2045, using ozone to remove organics that actually increases the lifespan of the water system and improves water quality. It also mitigates the impact to the neighbors, decreasing the length of time for construction compared to the phased approach. Commissioner Fritz and I have been attending these site advisory committee meetings with the neighbors that live out in Sandy near the future site. And one thing that we've heard is a huge concern is the length of time that this is going to cause to build. And so we believe that the recommended option compared to the phased option will decrease the time of construction. We'll also be using two pipes coming in and out of the plant, creating redundancy if one pipe needs to be taken offline, and increases resiliency and reliability of the filtration plant. We will be replacing a 100-year-old conduit if we're able to replace the pipes. With all this information, we acknowledge this is a very difficult decision. It's a very complex project. We have many constraints, specifically time. But we would like to build something that will increase the reliability of a system that nearly 1 million people depend on, and more people will depend on in the future. We presented this to the Portland Utility Board last Tuesday. I think you have their comments. You received their comments. And also the Citizens Utility Board, we have incorporated both of both boards' comments into our new resolution. So now that I've talked about what will guide the actual design of the plant, I would like to hand it off to Dave Peters to talk about the actual design contract.
Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I'm switching gears for just a moment and just making a couple comments on the ordinance for the design contract. So the purpose of this legislation is to authorize a professional, technical, and expert contract with Stantec Engineering, and it's for the on-site design services for the Bull Run Filtration Project. The on-site design services is the design of the filtration facility and does not include the pipelines, which would be off-site. The pipeline design will come as a separate contract later next year. This project will require the filtration project requires a consultant support to support the Bureau in designing a complex water treatment facility. Specifically, activities include preliminary design, detailed design plans and specifications, construction, commissioning, and one-year post-construction operation support and quality management. A formal request for proposals for the Bull Run Filtration Project was conducted in accordance with Chapter 5.68 of the Code of the City of Portland, and two proposals were received and deemed responsive. After reviewing proposals and conducting interviews, an evaluation committee determined Stantec was the most responsive and qualified proposer to perform the work on this project. A notice of intent to negotiate and award a contract was posted to City of Portland by Speed. Stantec and their subconsultants together possess the required expertise to design and develop plans and specifications for a construction contract to develop a complex water treatment facility. Portland Water Bureau anticipates starting work on the project upon authorization of this contract. The Stantec team will work with the Bureau through the end of the project, so we anticipate a five-year contract with a five-year extension. Stantec is committed to work with a number of firms as subconsultants on this project. They've proposed to have a 20% disadvantaged minority women emerging small business participation on the project, which has an estimated value of nearly $10.2 million. Of the $10.2 million, $9.4 million of that will go to state-certified minority and women-owned businesses. And that's all I have. Mike?
So a couple of other comments on Stantec. We have two contracts with Stantec already. Both of those contracts meet the 22% actually in minority participation. And overall, the Bureau meets 22.43%, and in the past 2 years has provided $167 million worth of work performed by state-certified firms. So we have every confidence that StanTech will deliver on their commitment. That concludes our formal presentation. We're available for your questions, or we can go sit down and you can take testimony as you wish.
Let's get to testimony first.
All right, testimony. And colleagues, what I'm going to do, given that it's already one, how many people do we have signed up?
12.
Okay, so here's what we'll do. I'm going to delay the convening of this afternoon session because these people need a break and we have a marathon session this afternoon. So we're going to delay the convening of our session until 2:30 this afternoon to give these folks a chance to eat and answer calls and whatnot. You have been very patient, those of you waiting to testify, and we'll get on with it.
And if I might just say that one of the things that might be most helpful for us to hear from neighbors is whether you support the full doing everything in one go or the phased implementation of doing part of it and then coming back in 10 years and doing another phase of it.
That'd be helpful.
Excuse me, Mayor.
Commissioner Hardesty.
I guess I'm concerned that we won't get to ask questions, and I understand that we've had community members sitting here all morning. So
we can have staff come
we're
back.
We're going to have this. I'm sorry.
We can have the staff come back after the testimony. I just want to get the neighbors a chance to talk.
Council members, sorry to interrupt. We also have invited testimony of Dr. Lewis. Yes.
Sorry, yes. Dr. Paul Lewis. That's all. Not that's all. He's the Tri-County Health Officer. And thank you, Dr.
Thank
Lewis.
You.
Is Dr. Lewis still? There we go.
Yeah, I think Nick has to leave too.
Welcome. Thank you for your patience and for being here all morning. You just state your name and position for the record. They should all be on.
Yeah, turn it off.
Great. Yeah, hi, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. Thank
good
you for
you.
Inviting me this morning. My name is Paul Lewis. I'm the health officer from Multnomah County. I'm a pediatrician, infectious disease specialist, and I've been with the county since 2008. I was here before some of you, at least, in 2017, and even though Multnomah County doesn't regulate the Portland Water Bureau, that's the EPA and the Oregon Health Authority, we do obviously have a great interest in the values that were just described, since the water, most people in Multnomah County drink Portland Water Bureau water. And in 2017, I testified strongly in favor of the option of enhancing the system through filtration. My support and that of the county continues, and recent events since then have actually only increased our support. You've heard about the requirements from the EPA, the LT2 rule, and how filtration is a technically superior option to meet that. You also heard about some of the newer design enhancements that touch something very close to me, in that one of the weaknesses of our current system is that because it's an unfiltered supply, when we do add chlorine for disinfection, it does react with other things that happen to be dissolved in the water, forming these things called disinfection byproducts, which are potential carcinogens. So again, I think it's very important to me, as we think about the purity and safety of our water, that this enhancement will decrease disinfection byproducts. Two other things that I mentioned had not happened at the time in 2017, and one is the idea that a fire in the watershed could degrade the land and lead to increased runoff turbidity, which could make the water either undrinkable or very difficult to disinfect. And unfortunately, as you heard and remember during the Gorge Fire, it got very, very close. The other thing that happened since then was the semi-disaster with the Salem water system, which also comes from the mountains, with the blue-green algae and cyanotoxin. That would be virtually impossible to deal with without filtration. With filtration, we have a decent chance to be able to deal with that. And again, I spend a lot of my time...
What does that mean? What's a decent chance?
The cyanotoxin from the blue-green algae is a really formidable foe for water treatment operators, because these small blue-green algae, which are really bacteria, even though they're called algae, can contain within them toxins that are bad for the nervous system and the liver. There was several news items this summer about dogs drinking contaminated water. Dogs are particularly susceptible, but we don't really want to expose the entire population to it as well. Without filtration, you can't easily get rid of the intact cyanobacteria. And the other alternatives are not as good. Salem didn't have much luck, as you remember, the National Guard, the bottled water, et cetera. But with filtration and charcoal upstream, you can, many places in other parts of the country, like the Southeast, can successfully deal with these blooms.
Is this the state of the art, then, for that?
You know, I'm at the limits of my expertise. But again, I do make lists of things that I worry about. Mm-hmm. I worry about the deluge that increases the turbidity. I worry about the forest fire that destroys the environment, and I worry about the blue-green algae, and I worry about cancer. So all of those things, again, are things for which filtration really enhances our ability. Okay, so again, I'm happy to answer any questions you have for me, but I and the county do continue to support this. We come at it from the health standpoint. You guys have to deal with a lot of other issues besides that, but we strongly support it from the health standpoint.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your testimony.
One question.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Would you support any kind of filtration system, or are you supporting this particular one?
Again, that's beyond my level of expertise, but thanks for asking.
I just wanted to be clear, right? In theory, you support it, right?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, I try to simplify things. If you take water and filter it, it comes out pretty clear. Then you can add a fairly tiny amount of disinfectant, and you've got safe, healthful water. And the reason we got to this point was because it's unfiltered and certain things can get through. And then there's the additional benefits that I listed.
Thank you so much.
Great.
I just wanted to be clear.
Great.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. All right. Now what we've all been waiting for.
The first three, please, coming up are Jeff Knapp, Eliza Lindsay, and Scott Fernandez.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
Okay.
Just leave the mics on.
Okay, thank you. So I would like to address the issue of, so we're here to talk about priority values and expectations, and I would specifically like to steer this towards the values and cost portion of that. I'm really quite curious about why the City Council isn't placing a higher value on the huge difference in cost between the UV solution and crypto filtration. One of the stark outcomes of this is that every dollar that is spent on the vastly more expensive crypto filtration plant is a dollar not spent on rebuilding the very weak and very precarious in-town infrastructure. So with all the concern about the big one, the big earthquake that's going to hit, what we're really doing is building it, we have an excessive solution for the crypto solution out in the east side, but at the same time not building the infrastructure that is going to be subject to a more severe earthquake in town. I mean, that's well established. And so, unfortunately, I mean, we're, by choosing to do the crypto filtration, and I'm not disputing the mandate that we have to do with crypto at all, but the City Council is sitting on another solution, UV, which is already better designed, implemented by San Francisco, Seattle, and a huge facility in New York. They're sitting on that, and all that money that is going to the more, you know, this platinum filtration plant is going to prevent that money being spent rebuilding infrastructure in town. So my expectation is that the City Council step back and does some due diligence in making a better technical and financial merit-based decision on this filtration.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. What's UV?
I'm sorry?
You said UV was a better alternative. What's that?
Ultraviolet light.
Oh.
And so, City of Seattle has a beautiful new plant done by CH2M Hill, just I want to say about 2011. San Francisco has one. New York's building the biggest. And so
it's ultraviolet?
Ultraviolet.
Wow. So could you put your name in the record, please?
Oh, yeah. My name's Jeff Knapp.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. My name is Eliza Lindsay, and I am a staff providing support to the Portland Utility Board as a coordinator. And the Portland Utility Board was asked to provide feedback on the resolution concerning priority values, expectations, and the recommended option for the Bull Run filtration projects. I have hand-delivered what you've also received an email by them and is posted on the website for the public.
Thank you.
And while I can't speak for them, I feel pretty certain that they thank you, Commissioner Fritz and her staff, for their inclusion in the amended resolution. And I think the only other thing I have to say is if you have any questions or thoughts you want me to bring back to them, I'm happy to do so.
Please let them know that this is not by any means the end of their involvement. We realize that there's a lot of, that it's been very quick, and that's one of the reasons that we're not revisiting the decision of filtration versus ultraviolet. We have to keep moving with this. So we will be continuing to engage with the Portland Utility Board and to want their ongoing feedback. This is a broad set of principles rather than specific advice to the design staff.
Thank you for Scott Fernandez. Thank you for providing it in writing.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to speak now, I guess.
Yes.
We know that ozone and UV and the filtration system is there, but the best thing that we can do at this point for a long, long time is chlorine dioxide, because it provides the best drinking water for public health benefits, as opposed to chlorine alone that is a weak chemical. EPA shows that chlorine dioxide has water additives used to control microbes. Chlorine doesn't do that well. Chlorine dioxide provides the best cost outcome for the public by retrofitting the Bull Run chlorine facility and turn it into a chlorine dioxide facility, so you don't have to do a filtration plant. Chlorine dioxide can be in the 20 to 25 million area, as opposed to 1 billion plus for a filtration plant. That can be questionable over time. 1 year would take to put this chlorine dioxide into presence with the retro change into the getting away from the chlorine. Chlorine dioxide can easily break down and remove cryptosporidium, unlike chlorine alone providing inconsistencies. Bull Run cryptosporidium has a long drinking water history of not having public health infectivity problems. It is not a bad situation. Filtration alone is very expensive at the point of meaningless and added other chemicals. Filtration promotes truckloads of debris that can go to Arlington. Filtration sand has its deficiencies, as sand creates tunnels and channels over time, such as an ant farm digging tunnels, allowing contaminants to get through in a filtration process. Finally, climate changes are here now, providing cement defects, such as what we saw in Palbu 2, having over 3,000 cracks. And that's the time it would take. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your testimony. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
Our, I don't know if Maggie, she may have left. Lauren Corker, Carol Bartha, and Brent Leathers.
Good afternoon. Would you like to start, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Mayor Wheeler, City Commissioners, if the items listed in Commissioner Fritz's resolution are truly valuable to the City Council, the following items in her resolution are currently not supported and are inaccurate. The resolution lists the following. The project must be implemented in a manner that is sensitive to community and environmental impacts. And Water Bureau staff have convened a site advisory group to mitigate negative impacts on the local community. As Commissioner Fritz and the Water Bureau are well aware, residential site advisory group members have withdrawn from any further group meetings and will not enter into a government agency-led good neighbor agreement. The Water Bureau has not been transparent from the beginning, and they redirect any of our major concerns and questions so that this process follows their agenda. This lack of sensitivity and respect dates back to the final site selection process in 2017. Portland Water Bureau never once consulted with our community or evaluated the negative impacts to neighbors or our agricultural businesses. In the spring of 2019, my family received a postcard in the mail that this was going to go behind my house. Neighbors have received notices of eminent domain. Neighbors and community members' properties have been significantly damaged and never compensated for. You can check out the latest article in the Oregonian. The second item that is inaccurate is City Council and the Water Bureau strongly consider costs and benefits, a value that is not apparent to wholesale customers or ratepayers. Wholesale customers are seeking sources other than the Bull Run because Portland Water Bureau has a long and tainted history of being irresponsible with costs. Ratepayers just can't afford any more rate hikes. Portlanders will likely share a higher burden with the loss of the Water Bureau's largest wholesale customers. Further, this resolution should not be approved at this time, since the items listed in the recommended option could not be agreed upon by the Portland Utility Board last Tuesday.
Thank you. Could you put your name in the record?
Lauren Corder.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Carol Bartha. How does the Portland Water Bureau time and time again receive approval for a multi-million or billion-dollar projects without having to provide critical details about their figures? The cost associated with this project continues to spiral out of control. Please delay your decision to approve a $51 million five-year design contract to the existing plan, which has already cost $850 million to $1.2 billion. If the goal is to meet the federal LT2 mandate for crypto, $51 million is double the cost of implementing the UV system, which there's already a design for. And if you put it at a location which conduits currently exist, no additional cost for piping is needed. Such a prudent decision would significantly reduce the ratepayer burden and restore confidence in the Portland's elected officials and the Portland Water Bureau. Furthermore, treatment can be online far ahead of OHA's 2027 deadline. If the goal is to keep Portland's water safe and resilient in case of unknown natural disaster sometime in the future, there's always time to go back and work out the details. These details you know are needed. Filtration is not beholden to a federal timeline. The fact that the Water Bureau's budget confidence range now, we heard today, is up to 50%, evidence that significant uncertainties associated with this location, pipes, design, and environmental impacts exist. Given these uncertainties, you owe it to ratepayers to demand a fully fleshed out budget and concept plan. Why not start with a UV at a sensible location and then employ a phased approach toward a well-thought-out filtration approach? Because the needs of Portland are staggering and the cost of living is steadily rising, please delay the approval of the design contract of this costly and unnecessary filtration project. Weigh the city's need against the city's wants. Please do not hastily move forward on this.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Brent Leathers, spoken to you before. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, thanks for taking time to hear us today.
I came
prepared with four different statements, and as always, things morph on me when I'm sitting out there listening to everything. So I'm going to wing this, and it'll probably be lousy, but I want to take a shot. And I want to thank you, Commissioner Hardesty, for your honesty in saying, what's UV? So I just want to remind you folks that you paid $16 million a few years back for a complete UV design to be implemented at Headworks as a fallback position, in case you didn't know that. Now, the UV cost was originally $105 back when this facility was guessed at $350 to $500, okay? So you have that on the shelf. Now, through your 20 years of research and work towards getting to this decision, I've read it all on your website. I've had to become a student of your decision-making to make myself smarter. I'm not the smartest guy in this room, for sure. But I just want to point out to you that it was aimed at crypto. All of a sudden, now we've got natural disasters occurring all over Oregon, and we better get this damn filtration plant built to deal with earthquakes, tornadoes, forest fires, all kinds of things. Those are a reality. I get that. But if you're going to invest $1 billion, and I assure you it will be $1 billion, maybe we should back up. You can always come back and build this in our neighborhood and destroy our lives. You'll always have that as an option, but to take a 2 or 3 month hiatus and ask the questions, can we do this cheaper and quicker? Will the OHA allow us to modify our compliance agreement to allow us to do something else that's smarter? that we can actually pay for with the savings from the billion-dollar project practically, just to get past the crypto threshold and then worry about all these other substantial issues. You folks have an incredibly difficult job. This is really technical stuff. And man, I wouldn't want your job. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done, by the way.
Thank you.
The next three are Linda Leathers, D. White, and Floyd Jones.
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Thank you for your patience. Would you like to start, please?
Yes.
Thanks.
Linda Leathers, and I pray that you will make the correct decision. So, over the course of many discussions with Water Bureau staff and even here at Council, our group has noticed a sensitivity to full disclosure of numbers. Recently, there has been concern about the use of the word triple when it comes to the project cost for the Bull Run project. I would like to walk you through the math. Based on the perspective of people who understand numbers, not the common persons, that's me, use of numbers. This council originally approved a total budget for this project, $350 to $500 million, on December 12, 2018. A mathematician would tell you that the expected outcome is the middle of that range, or $425 million. This is the purpose of a range of numbers. That is the purpose of the range of numbers. It is to define expected lowest value and the absolute maximum, with the middle of the range defining the most likely outcome. 9 months later, on September 19, 2019, the Water Bureau presented a revised budget of $850 million. This stated number has a 30% possible downside and a 50% upside. So the $850 million represents a number below the expected midpoint, and it is better stated as the true midpoint of that range, which is $935 million. Returning to the original true estimate of $425 million, the new number of $850 ironically represents twice the original estimate. Thus, the use of double the possible 50% upside of $850 million means that total project could cost $1.275 billion. It's exactly three times the original estimate of $425 million. Thus, the use of term triple. Terminology is important in the understanding. We can use numbers to misrepresent truth, or we can state it openly. When is the project too expensive?
Thank you.
Again, thank you for your time.
Appreciate your testimony.
Before you start, Ms. Lai, I think I misstated your name earlier. Thank you very much for bringing that error in the contract to our attention.
Yeah, and it wasn't posted until Tuesday, so the public had a three-day weekend looking at a botched-up, impartial, incomplete contract.
I apologize for that.
It's a very bad mistake. Anyway, my name is Dee White. I'm imploring each of you today to please come together and pull this contract and this resolution, both for the Bull Run filtration projects. I respectfully request that each of you reconsider your decision to build filtration and weigh it against what each of you will be doing to the Portland community by moving forward. If you pass this contract and resolution, you will be giving the Water Bureau an open checkbook payable by the Portland ratepayer for the biggest of its kind, high risk, highly contested, and financially uncertain treatment facility. Many of us believe that paying for this treatment plant is going to send hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the edge financially, and most certainly many Portland ratepayers will be faced with the choice of paying for their water or paying for food or medical attention. We need a robust process where the public participates, is heard, and is listened to. The Portland Water Bureau has been quietly and unconscionably breaking the 1991 federal EPA lead and copper rule for decades, while our regulator, the Oregon Health Authority, has turned a blind eye to Portland Water Bureau's legendary, dangerously high lead levels. Including Portland, including Gresham, has by far the highest lead levels in our drinking water of any city in the West.
we've exceeded the federal limit 9 times, and that's how long the public has been, which is over 2 decades, and this is how long the public has been fighting with the Water Bureau over this gross LT2 policy of build, 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 instead of delivering a safe, lead-free water. The damage that has been done to this community, to our schools, and to our most vulnerable by the dangerous levels of lead in our water is inestimable. Enough is enough. Please take a look at the hard copies, which I forgot to give to Carla, testimony I just gave to you. It's way more than I can say in 3 minutes. There's just so much to be said about the lack of transparency, the 25 years of crony contracting with Montgomery Watts and Harza, which is now Stantec. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Dean.
You.
If you just give Carla the testimony, we'll all get it.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Floyd Jones. As Friends of the Reservoirs warned City Council in our July 31st letter to City Council 2017, a rush risk probability and cost analysis cannot be trusted. And we now see that's absolutely true, as was evidenced by the information given to you in September of the absurdly, the absurdity of the Water Bureau not including pipes to provide water to the filtration plant. So you should not only be outraged by that, but you should take action against it, and you should also pay attention to the fact that the Water Bureau slipped in ozone in September. That's an alternative to filtration. You must know that. Back in 2017, the options were ozone, UV, chlorine dioxide, or chemical filtration. So now you're going to be building these two things. Then you could, as Scott pointed out, for chlorine dioxide, for very little money, comply with this EPA LT2 rule. The bottom line is that out-of-control engineers and their associated global engineering firms have hijacked Portland's water system. An analysis of treatment options, whether minimal or robust, you have to involve looking at official documents, not the spin. Neither turbidity, earthquake, fire, or water demand are reasons for building a chemical adding filtration plant. You can read the monthly reports that go to the wholesale customers. You can read the quarterly report that goes to OHA. Turbidity is a non-issue. Gross fire is going to clog a filtration plant. You should read the article in the New York Times from 2018, New York. They claim their water is immaculate, and they have gotten a 10-year waiver from the filtration plant. Why would we in Portland, the system, the best in the country, be building a chemical adding filtration plant? It's future generations that are going to suffer. Alum, aluminum, acrylamide, cancer-causing drugs. That's what chemical filtration is going to do to our water. Change the taste, forever make it a negative system compared to our great system presently.
Thank you. Appreciate it, all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
The last two who signed up are Pat Meyer and Jalen Edmondson.
Welcome. Last but not least.
Can I read Pat's testimony? For personal reasons, I have difficulties speaking.
That's fine. Certainly.
So if you don't
go
mind.
Ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm reading for Pat Meyer at Pat and Doug Meyer.
Thank you.
As a rural community member, I'm writing in opposition to Commissioner Fritz's resolution. As the Commissioner and Water Bureau continue to progress down the path of building a mega industrial plant on the site of Carpenter Lane, they continue to ignore the concerns of the local community and the city ratepayers as well. Given the Water Bureau's history of blatant fiscal mismanagement and the obvious opening left for significant cost increases, it would be irresponsible for the council to approve such language. The majority of homeowning stakeholders of the site advisory group have provided notice to the Portland Water Bureau, the council, and the pub of their withdrawal from the site advisory group, citing the Portland Water Bureau's lack of transparency, their control of the dialogue, and the inappropriate timing of such a group, as land use has not been established. The neighbors have retained the right to establish and direct their own site advisory group when and if appropriate to create a good neighbor agreement. We believe that annual updates are insufficient to oversee the Portland Water Bureau in this proposed project. At the very least, semi-annual updates should be in place in order to address address any gross mismanagement or concerns that may come into play. The ratepayers demand that the council have a tighter rein on the Portland Water Bureau, as their proven irresponsibilities has shown a complete and total disregard to the community and the ratepayers. This morning you've had multiple agenda items in your docket. In many, there was a common consensus by a need by the council and organizations to acknowledge the financial concerns of low-income residents, as well as keeping an eye on a potential economic downturn. When considering these proposals put forth by PWB, these considerations must also be addressed. There are methodologies in which turbidity and crypto can be addressed without an unaffordable mega trophy plant.
Thank you. Good teamwork there. Well done.
Thank you.
So thank you all for your testimony. And colleagues, Commissioner Fritz has been passing an idea back and forth here. Rather than pinching this discussion off, the proposal is to continue both the resolution and the ordinance to next week. We would then have the opportunity for staff to answer lots of questions, because today's testimony certainly raises a lot of, I think, interesting questions that I'd like to pursue further than the time we have at this particular moment after 4.5 hours of council session. So we will not vote next week either. What we will do is continue the conversation to next week. We will close the record, the oral record. We will continue to take written testimony. So if people want to send us emails or whatever, we'll certainly continue to accept written testimony. Next week, we'll have Q&A with staff, and then we'll take the vote presumably the week after that. Does that comport with everybody's expectations? Then with that, Commissioner Hardesty.
That's fine, but I'd like to make some comments for the record. I mean, we
absolutely have
community members that have been here
today.
Yeah,
please go ahead and do.
Thank you. I just want to express that I also have some concerns, and I feel like as someone who has to vote on this, you may remember when we had the work session on the water bureau, we asked some really hard questions, and I have not seen anybody from the water bureau come and talk to me again about this project. When we had the work session, there were two options on the table. I have no idea why we're now down to one, and we're moving forward. I feel like that this is way too much money for us to spend without us knowing clearly whether or not we're getting what it is we're paying for. And so regardless of what city's current policy is, I cannot in good conscience support hiring a consultant for $51 million when what I'm told is that this is only a 30% accurate rate about what it would cost. If the Water Bureau wants my support, then they need to come and sit down and talk to me, and they need to explain what all our options are. They don't want my support. They can just keep doing what they're doing.
Comes down.
Very good.
Yes.
Anything else? All right, very good. So just for the record, item number 1038, that is item number 1046, that's a resolution that's continued to next Wednesday's council session, and that's not a time certain. That'll just be on the regular agenda. Item number 1047, which is the ordinance, will also be continued to next Wednesday morning, regular agenda. And Carla, if we can put them side by side again, I'd appreciate that. We are adjourned until 2:30. For those of you who have walked in for the 2 p.m. meeting, we're going to take a recess just so everybody can have a few minutes off. Chris, I see you just walked in. We'll reconvene at 2:30. We are adjourned.
Something and then we can talk about this.